My brothers and sisters, I don't know if you make New Year's resolutions, but I kind of do. And one of them is to really try hard not to repeat a story that I've used in the past to illustrate a point. After 23 years of priesthood, it's not that easy to do. But I have my go-to stories, and certainly for the baptism of the Lord, I've got one that you've heard. I said, let's come up with something new. Now, it's a new illustration, but not a new technique, because it is from a movie. Maybe from the very first adult movie that I ever saw in the theater. I was in my teen years, and I kind of graduated from the Disney pictures. In the very first grown-up movie, PG movie I ever saw, without parents, was The Poseidon Adventure in 1972. How many people here remember The Poseidon Adventure? Yeah, and they remade it, and I guess it was a TV series for a little while there, too. I don't know how you make a TV series about a boat that gets hit by a tidal wave and capsizes, but they managed to, at least a miniseries. The Poseidon was a cruise ship. And the scene that I want to get to involves a group of people that decided to buck the conventional wisdom. When everybody else was going one direction, this group went in another direction to try to get to the top of the ship, excuse me, the bottom of the ship, which was the top of the ship, the hull, which would be the last thing to go underwater as the ship continued to sink. And the scene I'm getting at is where they had to, each one of them, plunge into water. Because the water was rising behind them. They had to plunge into water and they had to swim, each one of them, through corridors for a little while. Hold their breath. Risk death to leave certain death behind. And when they surfaced at the bottom of a staircase. Or the top of a staircase. Depending on your point of view. Point is, they wanted to continue to ascend, go up, up toward hope, up toward survival. And I don't know why this wasn't on recently, but it just occurred to me, and I said, what a great, great metaphor for what happens to us and what we need to do when we're baptized. Because we need to plunge into the waters of baptism. I know when you think about a baby being baptized, we pour water over the head. But if you've seen at the Easter Vigil, for example, us take the wading pool out, we actually submerge adults who try to get the whole body and head under the water. So they plunge in and they come up out of the water to leave the death of sin behind, to rise up out of the water, and to keep ascending en route to our heavenly destination, our eternal home with Christ. Being plunged into the regenerative waters of baptism to be renewed, made new creation in Christ. And we take this for granted, especially for us who have been baptized when we were little babies. We don't remember it. We need to always say, isn't it a wonderful gift that we've received to be incorporated into the body of Christ, to become an adopted child of God the Father and a brother or sister of Jesus our Lord. Now, I always want to repeat this every year at the baptism of the Lord because it's a question that I had for the longest time. Why did Jesus need to get baptized? Because follow me here. People were going out to the Jordan, to John the Baptist, to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. But our faith and the scriptures tell us that Jesus was like us in all things except sin. So why did he insist that John baptize him? Not for the forgiveness of sins. And this is the key. Jesus did not go into the water to be made holy. He went into the water to make the water holy. When our forebears, Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They allowed God's perfect creation to be fractured and corrupted. Up until then, everything was in harmony, and there was nothing wrong. But when we turned away from God, all the bad stuff came into the human experience. Corruption, disease, lack of harmony, even sin and death itself. So Jesus, in the fullness of time, was sent by his Father to restore what we lost and recreate the universe. And that recreation story began in an intense way on the day of his baptism. The muddy waters of the small little river in Israel called the Jordan. And if you've ever been there, it's no great shakes. Very humble, muddy, little river. And yet it was this place that God chose to be ground zero to start the recreation of all creation. And when Jesus went there and went into ground, he made that ground zero, and ripples went out, literally in the water and figuratively reverberating through the universe, through all of creation, to recreate. Now, the second part of the answer to why Jesus was baptized is that he wanted to give us an example and to lead us as a pioneer, to show us where we need to go to be a part of the recreation story and made holy and recreated in his image. And this is why Jesus is called the new Moses. Remember, the Old Testament foreshadows the new, and the New Testament fulfills the old. And the story about Moses and the Israelites and the Red Sea and the desert and the Promised Land, all of that was but a foreshadowing of what Jesus came to do in a more perfect way and in the eternal way. Now follow me here. Just as Moses led the chosen people through the waters of the Red Sea from out of slavery and death in Egypt to the freedom and new life eventually in the Promised Land, just as Moses did that, Jesus, who is called the new Moses, leads us, the new chosen people, through the waters of the Jordan. Of course, they're the waters of baptism. From slavery to sin and death to freedom and new life in him, and eventually into the Promised Land of heaven. But as I said, we need to choose this. And I know that sounds ironic because you say, well, most of us were baptized, we were little itty bitty babies, our parents chose it for us. Yes, true. But every day we get to choose again to follow Jesus and reclaim our baptismal grace. Parents who understand baptism is the beginning of a loving relationship with Jesus and the beginning of a life of grace in him give their children the greatest gift of all. Such parents know the great responsibility they assume. They commit to doing all they can to make sure their children know, love, and serve God and neighbor with the strength which comes from receiving, celebrating all the sacraments, knowing and living the Word of God, and building a relationship with Jesus through a life of prayer. That's the whole picture and the whole package when parents ask for their babies to be baptized. Fortunately, we know more and more parents cannot give this to their children because they don't have it themselves. And many times because they themselves never received it from their parents. What I'm getting at is, and we know this, we have multiple generations now of people who come to church when their babies have been born and said, Father, we want our baby baptized, but they really don't fully understand why, what they're asking for. They may have a vague notion that it's a nice tradition and a holy thing to do, but they're not aware of all the stuff we're talking about today. These families will come and they'll get very excited about the baptism, and then they'll kind of fade back, and we won't see them again. And if we're lucky, they may resurface when it's time for First Communion. And we always welcome them with open arms, because we want them to have a good experience of church and of the faith community. But despite our best efforts too, then First Communion comes, and then again, we may not see them till confirmation time. And this is what's become called a cultural practice of the faith, a diluted practice of the faith. Although God can work miracles, this kind of practice of the faith does not give God much to work with to help us live the fullness of the new life Christ won for us through his death and resurrection. We have to keep trying, though. We have to keep on welcoming. We have to keep on trying to gather, help Jesus gather in all of his children. We can say, well, how do we do that? Well, the first, most basic, and most effective things we can do to be a positive influence on family members, friends, fellow parishioners, is to lead by example and to pray. Who among us does not deal with the heartache of seeing people who we love living the faith at more of a surface level or not at all? And our frustration may result, and believe me, I'm taught from personal experience, 24, coming up on 24 years a priest, I've had to learn some tough lessons. And I know now the wisdom of the old saying, win an argument, lose a soul. I've learned, we learn, we cannot debate or argue people back into the fold. The better way is to live our faith fully, answer our baptismal call, and pray for ourselves, for our continued conversion, and for the conversion of those we love. The beginning of a new year, I'm not great for New Year's resolutions, except for I like to ask the Lord, what is it, Lord, that I need to work on in 2022 to continue to use the grace that you imparted to me when I was baptized, deepened when I was confirmed, to become more and more like you, continue to be recreated in your image? That's the challenge. And if we do this, then we'll have more joy, and people will see that joy. And then the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will open the door. When people ask about it, where is the source of our joy? And then we gently, lovingly share our faith and help Jesus gather us all together and lead us all together to the promised land, the eternity he has prepared for those who love him in heaven.